UW-Madison police are sharing a couple of videos that were made to help people prepare for an active shooter situation. The videos were made after the Virginia Tech shooting but were updated in 2013. While they may be uncomfortable to watch, UW-Madison police hope they give people guidelines to help them figure out how they'd behave in a mass shooting situation.
The effort to promote these videos come as gun laws in Wisconsin are facing possible changes. Republican leaders in the state are looking at legislation that would make it illegal to ban guns in UW college buildings.
UW-Madison's chief of police, Susan Reisling, joins us now to talk about the videos and how to improve your safety in an active shooter situation. Chief Reisling, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Well, in one of the videos that you've circulated, you say that you think that if you've thought about this kind of situation even once ahead of time, you can increase your chances of survival. Why do you think it pays to think ahead?
Well, I think with everything in life, you know, if you think it through when you're calm and when you've got some time, you can think through kind of a logic progression. And when you're under tremendous stress and when you're shocked, surprised, and scared, we don't necessarily do our best thinking. And so I think if the students, staff, faculty, and just the public in general, if you think through what would you do if there was a sudden emergency, and it doesn't just have to be active shooter, it can be any number of things, you know, where's your route of escape, where would you turn for help, what would you physically do? I think if you do that a little bit in advance, you're going to be better off than if it just all takes you by surprise.
It's funny because when I think about this sort of situation, I think, well, you would never know what you could do in that situation. It's so unthinkable. It's not a place that our minds like to go, but you say there are actually things that you can plan, and then maybe in the event that this happens, this is something that you've got a little base knowledge you can work on.
Right, and just as a general safety precaution, I mean, even if we're talking about things like fire, it's always good if you go into a building, a room, a laboratory, you know, where are the exits? How would you get out of there if you needed to in the event of a fire or, you know, any other kind of emergency. And so there are things that you can do. The first thing, foremost, if you can get out, that is really, really key. And then what you want to do is be able, from a place of safety, to call for help and get help, you know, moving towards you. And in certain situations, if you can't get out and you can't call out, depending on what the emergency is, you may need to hide. And then, unfortunately, as things progress, especially in an active shooter situation, if you can do something to delay the perpetrator from getting to you, delay the shooter in an active shooting situation from getting in, keep them away from you, keep them out of your room, make it tougher for them to enter, that's always a good thing. And unfortunately, worst comes to worst, if you're absolutely confronted, you've got no way out, you've got no real other option, then you've got to fight. I think what we have seen over the years is people not understanding that active shooters, those situations, those people are only interested in one thing, and that's killing. And so you can't just sit by. You've got to take some type of action.
And you've got an acronym that you teach in these videos. The acronym is ESCAPE, and you've gone through a lot of that. And let's focus in on the last thing you said. Mm-hmm. If you're stuck, you haven't been able to conceal yourself effectively. Maybe you can't. There's only one door, and you can't get out that door. Fighting back. So what kind of form does that take?
Well, the best way to fight back in those kinds of situations is to do it, hopefully, in concert with others. In other words, what I call the bull rush, literally rushing the shooter is really the most effective way. And we've looked at that. We've seen that, whether that, you know, it was with the Gabby Gifford shooting in Arizona. That's essentially what happened. There were people in that line that had guns, that had concealed carry permits. But the people in the line when Representative Gifford was shot actually all en masse jumped on the shooter and tackled him. And the people with concealed carry permits actually said afterwards they reholstered and thought, well, I don't know who to shoot, because it was just, you know, as we call it, dog pile. You know, it's just like piling on. And that really is the most effective when you think about 9/11 and the plane that went down in Somerset, Pennsylvania. The way that that happened was a number of passengers formed together and essentially rushed the cockpit of that plane, taking that plane down, and avoided a lot of death on the ground, because the target was clearly a building in Washington, D.C.
Now, if barricading the door is a possibility, what does that take? Tell us a little bit more in more detail what that could look like when you've got chaos with a shooter coming down.
Well, I think people, you know, think, well, lock the door. Well, that's a good start. But if the door doesn't have a lock, or, you know, piling up furniture in front of it, simply putting, you know, a binder or a notebook, something underneath the door to make it fit tighter in the door frame. It actually jams the door and makes it very, very difficult to open. You know, in residence halls, we often find students playing jokes on each other where they penny a door, which is, you know, you put a bunch of pennies in the door jamb and you make that door so tight in the jamb that it actually won't open. Highly dangerous in residence halls. Please don't do that. But the point being that, you know, if you've got literally loose pocket change, you can start jamming that into a door jamb and make the door unopenable. And it just delays the shooter, and the more you can delay the shooter, obviously, the more time it is for first responders to get there.
Now, calling 911 is obviously a first step. You got to wait until you are out of harm's way, as reasonable as you can make that. And then when you call 911, what do you need to know about how you should handle that call and what you should tell them?
Well, I think you should tell them what you know. So if you believe you've heard shots fired, or you know that shots have been fired, that's what you need to tell them. And if you can give them a description of who it is, obviously where you are is really pretty important. And the big thing is, don't assume that somebody else has called. Chances are, today of cell phones, people have called. But the more information that we can get about the way that the suspect is proceeding, the location, the travel, also the behavior is you know, is he consistently shooting? Is there interruptions? How many people are injured? All those things are really important for us to know.
And escaping, obviously, is where you start, to get out of the situation, to try to get to safety. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're talking about an airplane scenario, they always say, fasten your own mask first. Should you try to help people first, or should you just bolt?
No, you've got to bolt. I know that sounds harsh, but the reality of it is that you bolting out and getting out and calling people and giving them good information is going to actually help the people who are already injured. Staying with an injured person when you're in an active shooting situation really is, you're just allowing the person to have another target.
Do you think that UW-Madison is prepared for an active shooter situation? God forbid, but they happen. Are we ready here at UW-Madison?
Well, you know, the first number one thing we need to do is prevent these as much as possible, and we do have a threat team that works on that and does a lot to prevent these things from happening. But secondly, then we do need people to be aware of what's happening and the possibilities. And then finally, you know, we need a rapid response, and we've trained rapid response now for over 16 years. And so I think we are as prepared as we can be. God forbid we're ever tested.
Chief Reisling, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Susan Reisling is the chief of UW-Madison Police. She joined us to talk about how to increase your chance of survival in an active shooting situation.